Let's sing our praises to Him.
I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me.
Jesus, you deserve the praise.
give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. We're going to sing an old hymn with a little bit of new stuff added in, but everybody knows my Jesus, I love me. So just sing out.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee.
Today we take a giant step in a direction that has taken a year and a half plus to get to. You know, as we come into this time, we look different. We act different. You know, when you get to the point where, you know, I think the verbiage is that if you do something for a month or more, then you create a habit. And we've created some habits over the past year and a half, haven't we? Yeah, it's one of those situations where you look at the circumstances and you remember back when all this started. It was a situation that was going to take us 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And here we are, over 18 months later, still in the midst of trying to recover from the situation. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. This morning is not about politics. It's not some sort of a political message, but it's a message from the Word of God that deals with this thing called reality. It takes a lot of things happening to make the moving pieces and parts and whatnot work. And even today, I know, it's just like Lynn was saying. Lynn's like, I'm nervous in a way I've never been. And I'm nervous in a way that I've never been. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not nervous anytime we catch the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord. But we want to serve Him, and we want to serve Him well. We want to do what is God-honoring. And sometimes that doesn't mean that it's exactly what we want. That's when things get a little bit tougher. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. As we consider this day that we are here, I've thought and pictured the last time that I had an opportunity to stand in this place. Now, I realized that we did not shut down completely. We still had things that were taking place. We still had services going on. And we functioned as best we could during those times. But now as I stand here, there are things that I see that are different than they were a year and a half ago. There are those that have gone to be with the Lord that the last time I saw them was in this place and know where they sit. They're rejoicing with the Lord today, and we rejoice about that, but we miss them. We think about the way things used to be, and we're different. You see, the pandemic and the quarantine have been transformational moments in our world. They've been transformational moments for our church. But now we've got an incredible opportunity. How many times have we said throughout the years that the Lord provides us opportunities? It's not problems, it's opportunities. How many of y'all have ever heard that? The Lord gives us opportunities. How many of y'all have had some opportunities over the past year and a half? See, y'all understanding what I'm saying? You've had many opportunities to come along. It's how we look at these things and how we respond to them that makes a difference. I believe that God has put each and every person around this world in a different situation than they were a year and a half ago. That includes your church. That includes your work. That includes how your family functions. Everything has been challenged on many, many levels. So we now have an incredible opportunity to hit the reset button in our lives, to hit the reset button within our church, to be able to go forward in a way that is pleasing to the Father. I think that sometimes God gets our attention because we get so much in a rut. We get so much in this particular way of doing things that we become on autopilot, don't we? Have you thought about that? How many times have you looked at something and you just realized that you did it naturally? It was on autopilot. Now, let me give you an example. And I'm going to get you to tell on yourself this morning. How many times have you ever been sitting around at lunch or dinner or somewhere with a family, and then all of a sudden you go, did we say the blessing? Okay. And then yeah, your spouse, your child, that loved one, that family member, mom, dad, whatever, they look at you and go, well, yeah. As a matter of fact, you said it. All right, now, how meaningful and from the heart was that? See, too many times we get on autopilot, don't we? We did it because that's what we do. There are a lot of things that we do. How many of you all have ever asked yourself and second-guessed yourself when you walk away and you said, did I lock the car door? And then you go back and check it, and you did, right? Why? Because you automatically do those things. And you see, folks, I think that too many times when we get so familiar with where we are, it loses its meaning. It doesn't mean as much as it did before. Yeah, when we're asking, well, did I say the blessing? Okay, I've never been hungry enough to realize how thankful I am for the meal that's on the table. Because when you've been hungry and somebody puts that meal before you, or when you have seen what some of our church missionaries have seen on the mission field, where a tomato, single tomato, is the meal for a family in the evening, when you sit down and look at that chicken breast or chicken leg, it makes you thank God in a different way. You're like, Lord, you have blessed us. You have blessed us with much. You have blessed us with many. So how are we perceiving the opportunities that God is giving us as we move forward? Now, let me tell you, God doesn't want that in your life. God does not want that in our church. We have had a myriad of issues just trying to be able to get here to be able to meet today. Right now, we're not exactly sure equipment's working properly. We don't know how things are going to look as we go forward. But you know what that means? That means that we're going to trust God one step at a time, one day at a time. And here's the really cool part. That's exactly what God wants, isn't it? He doesn't want us to be to that point where things are so familiar that we get on autopilot or that we get on cruise control. And sometimes what he has to do is he's got to get our attention. How many of y'all have had some attention getters in your life? God's like, are you paying attention now? Yeah, I love what one of the things that he said to his disciples, and y'all need to remember this. Jesus had a lot more than 12 disciples when he started off. In fact, there was a point where there was actually hundreds of disciples with Jesus. Until the point where Jesus said to them, here is what it's going to take to follow me. And a lot of them said, ooh. Well, wait a minute, that's not what I'm signing up for. Man, when you're talking about being the king, what happened to the crowns and the palace, and what happened to all that good stuff? And you notice, the Word of God says this. The Word of God says, and many of them walked away. In fact, the majority of them walked away. And you know what Jesus said to the 12? Here's what Jesus said to the 12. Are you going to walk away too? He says, I'm being up front with you. Listen, following me is going to cost you something. It's going to be sacrifice. It's going to cost you financially. It's going to cost you in many, many ways because I am calling you out to be separate from the world. I'm not calling you to be in line with the world. I'm calling you to be separate from the world. And the question is that what you signed up for? God is giving us a tremendous opportunity through the pandemic. For many Christians, committed church attendance prior to the pandemic was already waning. We were already in that holding pattern. We were already just going through the motions, as it were. And God has reminded us, and God has given us a major wake-up call about how really important it is to gather together as a church. I titled this morning's message, Treasure the Gathering. Do we do that? Have we really thought over the past year and a half, did we miss church? Did we miss being able to be together with our brothers and sisters? Let me tell you, it about drove me crazy. Let me tell you why, because believe it or not, I'm a people person. I like to be with people. I like to talk with people. I enjoy going and being able to visit you when you're in the hospital. And I couldn't do that. I enjoy being able to sit back and have some conversation and a cup of coffee. We haven't been able to do that. I like hugs. Listen, you're not going to hurt my feelings, but you know what? If you don't like to be hugged, you need to tell me, because I'll probably hug you at some point. And I'm not going to take offense to it. You can just say, oh, I'm not a hugger. Okay, I'm cool with that. We're even afraid to shake somebody's hand over the last year and a half, aren't we? Now, we might not necessarily be afraid of it, but we're afraid of what everybody else might be afraid of, because we're all different, aren't we? We all have differences. Now, I told you before when I started this message, this is not about politics. If you want a shot, get a shot. If you don't, don't. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, then don't. This is about the attention getter God has given us. I can tell you what I know. We are designed to do life together. We are designed to be people that function together. You know, some of the ironic things that I saw during the pandemic is when I did have a chance to sit down, even with some of you that are present in this room. The times that we would sit down and normally what would be a few minutes worth of conversation turned into a half an hour. You know why? Because you were hungry for that interaction. You were hungry for one another to be able to be together. Are you still hungry? You see, today, although we've been doing church, we've been doing it in a different fashion, today we have come together as the body, and we need to cherish the gathering. We have gone to the Lord in song. Listen, church is about participation. Now, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute, and I promise I will get to the scripture. But my soapbox says this: church is about participation. It is not about being a spectator. What's happened is we have made church a spectator event in this society. What's in it for me? What can you do for me? I'm going to show up. I'm going to listen to some songs. I'm going to hear the preacher, and I'm going to go away the same way I came in. Folks, let me tell you something. That is not what church is supposed to be according to the word of the Lord, nor how it was created in the book of Acts. We are to do life together. Church is about you participating. Church is about being able to sing when Lynn was up here, Lord, fill this place with your glory. And when God is welcome, he will change hearts and he will change lives. And let me make you a promise. He has something for each and every one of us today in his word. Through song. The past year and a half has been turbulent. It's been exhausting. How many of you all would agree? It's been exhausting. You have tried. You have bumped up against everything. It has been rough. There's been shifts in the way that we do so many different things. The way we worked, the way we lived, the way we've dined, the way we've shopped, the way we've attended church. Everything has been in a shift. Societies have changed and still are. You know why? Because nobody knows quite when or what the new normal really is. We still don't know what it is. How many of you are there? Listen, whether you work, how many of you all are sitting there going, I still don't know what normal is? The rest of y'all, you don't get out at all. Because none of us do. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what it's going to be like when you go to the bank. You don't know what it's going to be like when you go to the grocery store. You don't know what it's like when you go to work on your job. You don't know what these things are like. And it's changed so rapidly that what? You don't know what normal is. Now, I believe that God has done that to shake us up. How many of y'all, when y'all were little, used to love to shake up a bottle of Coke or something like that and then hand it to your buddy? Attaboy. You know why? Because they had a surprise coming when they opened it up. We like to see the fizz. We like to see them get wet. See, I think God has taken us and he's turned us upside down. And you know what I believe? I believe he's wanting to know how we're going to act and how we're going to react. And here's what else I believe. I believe there's going to be a lot of people that are going to walk away. I believe that God is saying, I'm going to deal with my remnant. I believe that God is also gonna pull the same thing he did with Gideon. Remember Gideon? Gideon had a big army going to battle, and God said, "Now you got too many people." Then he said, put them through the test. Remember what he did? And then finally, when it all boiled down, he had 300 men to go to battle. And God even told him the reason up front. And I believe that same reason exists today. The reason God cut Gideon's army down was he told him, he said, it's so that people won't say you're a good general. It's so that people will know that there is a living God who will protect, who will walk with, who will take care of you. And there's no way. They will look at you and say, you are crazy for going into battle. And when you come through, they'll say, there's no way that it was by Gideon's hand. It had to have been the hand of God. I believe God wants to make a statement today just like he did back then. There's no way we can do this outside of him. It can't be done. Plain and simple. We don't know what normal is. We're going to experience the kind of troubles that Jesus experienced, that Paul and Silas experienced as we go forward. And when we're doing this, when we're going through those trying times, when we're going through those troubling times, we need to spend more time together, not less. I mean, I've said this from the onset of the pandemic. Have you realized that everything that was required of the pandemic was designed to pull us away from God's intention of his people and the church? Listen, when you some of you in here have lost loved ones during this pandemic, you weren't able to be with them. You weren't able to be there with them. You weren't even able to have a funeral in the way that you would know, where you could have Christian brothers and sisters there to cry on their shoulders and to support you through that. How many tears have come to your eyes over that? People that I know whose loved ones went on to be with the Lord, and they didn't have an opportunity to be with them because the hospital wouldn't allow them in. And we, as brothers and sisters, couldn't even gather around to be able to mourn with them. We haven't been able to enjoy the celebrations. I think about how many college students and high school students that graduated last year that didn't get to enjoy the full experience of graduation. The seniors that didn't get to enjoy the full experience of that senior year that they'll never get back. Folks, we won't get some things back in life either. But the Lord says, I haven't left you. I am here with you. And it is time for us to begin to do things his way. Now, that's, of course, with all the appropriate cautions. Yeah, I've said, and I'm going to continue to reiterate, because somebody will turn this around. Say, that preacher at Central Baptist Church is bucking the system. No. No. This is not political. But it's about us. It's about being together. It's about being able to consider how we can stir up the good in one another. Now, I said I'd get to the Scripture, so I'm going to go ahead and get there. Scripture comes today out of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. It says, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment because this is important. We're talking about believers. Let us draw near with a true heart. Remember what we talked about what a true heart was just a moment ago. A heart that is surrendered to him. A heart that's not on autopilot. A heart that doesn't forget whether or not we said the blessing because your heart and your mind was there and it was in it. God says that when we come together, we need to examine our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit pinpoint those things in our lives. Where are the things that we need repentance? Where are the things that we need to confess with him that our hearts might be clean? Notice what it says at the end of verse 22, that and our bodies washed with pure water. When you came in, listen, it's not just cool that we say, prepare your hearts to worship. That's not just a cool statement that you say in church. It's a reminder. It's a command that when you have come together in the house of God with God's people, what is the condition of your heart? When you walked in, did you say, Lord, search me. Lord, see, yeah, look into my heart, see if there is any unclean or impure ways. Let me tell you something, and this is me personally. You may agree, you may disagree. I think that right now we're living in one of the most hateful times that I have seen in my life of people in this world. We are chopping each other off at the emotional knees. We are some of the meanest, nastiest people that I have ever seen in my 55 years of life, and that includes Christian people. We are just beating each other completely up. We are showing a lack of compassion. We are showing a lack of forgiveness. And folks, let me tell you, that is not doing the cause of Jesus Christ any good whatsoever, especially when it infiltrates the house of the Lord. If there's anybody that should know better, it's me and you. That's what we're supposed to be. Check your heart. How's your heart today? Did you come in and say, you know what, I want to meet God in this place today. I am excited as we go forward. Or did you come in and go, wonder what this is going to be? Wonder what this is going to be like? I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Come on, man. You know, where's your heart? Check it. Then he goes on and he says this in verse 23. Let us hold fast. Reminder, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When the wheels fall off, God is faithful. When it doesn't work out right, God is faithful. When it's not our way, God is faithful. How many times have we said this? Let me tie it again to something that's a constant reminder. God is good, and all the time, all of the time, God is good. Not some of the time, all of the time. Let us hold fast to our hope without wavering. And then he goes into verse, that's us. That's talking about me and you. That's the way we should have come into the house of the Lord today. That's how we should have come into the gathering of God's people today. That's how we should have come in. Hopefully you have. Listen, if not, maybe even now you can begin to make it right before him, because it's not too late. That's how we're supposed to be with him when we come to the gathering. But now let's look at verse 24. He says, how are we supposed to be with one another? Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's how we're to consider one another. Folks, when you're cutting each other off emotionally and spiritually, and when you're being hateful to other people, especially people of God, this is counterintuitive to what the Word tells us. It says that we are to consider one another in ways to do what? To stir up love. To stir up love. How many times in your life have you just needed somebody to tell you something as simple as, hey, I want you to know I'm thinking about you today. I'm praying for you. Have a good day. How many of you at some point has something like that changed your life? Or just somebody who called and said, look, now I want you to look around. I want you to see hands that people's lives have been changed over a simple, encouraging word. Brother, listen, I don't know what you're going through. Sister, I don't know what you're going through, but I will tell you this. I'll walk by your side through it. But you see, to do that requires us to be present with that person. It requires us to invest in them. It requires us to invest time and effort and energy to be the instrument of God in the life of somebody else. How many of us in here today would say, you know what, I really want God to use me in somebody else's life? Four of you. The rest of you, we need to talk. We really want God to use us in somebody else's life. But then when God tells us what it takes to do that, all of a sudden we're like the disciples we mentioned earlier. I don't know if I want to sign up for that. You know what? It doesn't take a lot. I've watched the ladies over here working on the plarn. And yeah, I'm not just a hillbilly, that's a word. That's a plastic yarn, plarn, mix it together, as they work on making these mats for people who don't even, who probably won't even know their name, won't even know who they are, maybe not even be thankful for it. But you know what? God has called them to do that. This is an area where you can serve. And by the way, you don't do it so you can get an attaboy from them. You do it so you can get an attaboy from Him. Why do you do what you do? Let us consider one another. Did we come in today in order to stir up love and good works in the body? I always told people this, and I heard it in a joke one time before. Well, it wasn't really a joke. It was what a guy actually said to another fella. He said, you know, he said, it was a preacher, and he said, well, preacher, we want to get rid of our preacher. What's a good way to do that? So the other preacher said this. He said, let me tell you how you can do this. He said, I want you to set up front, and he said, when the preacher hits a good mark, I want you to say, amen. And he said, you know, when he keeps on going, you say, hallelujah. And he said, you get people and you sprinkle them throughout that congregation, and he starts getting amens and hallelujahs, he'll preach himself into a heart attack, be dead, then you can get someone else. He said, because you'll get him excited. How can we stir up love and good works in one another? It's not about just showing up. It's about participating. It's about singing a song. It's about singing a hymn. It's about taking it into our heart. Are you hearing me? Taking it into our heart that the words that we are expressing to the Father are truly meaningful from the heart. You know, one of the things that just moved me almost to tears, even as we were worshiping this morning, and listen, we're not good at it right now. We tried this morning. We need to do better. But we ain't done it for a year and a half. It's okay. But you know what? I just thought about the voice I was lifting to the Father, asking Him to fill this place with His glory. That's what I want. Because when God fills this place with His glory, God speaks to His people. He speaks into your need. He speaks into your want. He speaks into your hurt. He speaks into your joy. And isn't it so cool to be able to celebrate victories with other people of like mind? To cheer them on. To say to our graduates, congratulations, man, you've worked hard. We're going to be praying for you. To say to the one who has lost a loved one, my heart's breaking for you, and the tears in my eyes and the tears in my heart are different than the tears in yours, but I hate to see you suffer like that. We're going to be there with you. We're going to walk through it with you. Or is church, the gathering, just what we come to and go home, never being changed by the Word of God, never being changed by the message of the Father to our hearts and lives? He goes on in verse 25 and he says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Remember, we were talking about how everything is so counterintuitive to God's Word. Not forsaking, verse 25, the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, the day's approaching. I think that we're in a position where we have never been more primed than we are right now to see the Lord blow the trumpet and call us home. All I know is this, that no matter what the hardships are, no matter how many broken pieces there are, you know what, I may have started off with a big old arm load, but I may still be doing this to try to get to the Father. But when I get there, I want to at least have something to say, Lord, I kept up with it. I tried. It's broken, it's beaten, and it's scarred, but you know what? I stayed with it. I persevered. Boy, that's a sermon right there. How many Christian people will not persevere until the end? How many are saying, I give up? How many are saying, I'm just going to walk away? How many are saying, oh, it's okay. I just do my thing. I found out I could live without being in the body of Christ. I've had people tell me all my life, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And you're right, you don't. But I'll tell you one thing. Why would you not want to be with God's people, around God's word, where you can grow in His grace and where you can grow in love with Him? And where you can encourage one another. Folks, here's the key. Are you ready? Make sure you get this. Church is not all about what you can get. Church today's got this consumer mentality. What's in it for me? Now, don't get me wrong. There is something in it for you. But it's not all about what's in it for you. It's also about what is it that you can bring to the body of Christ. What is your talent? What is your ability that you bring? And by the way, it's important. What you do is significant. What you do is important. And God has placed you here to use that for His honor, for His glory, and for that reason. It's not about coming in and inspecting everything. It's not about coming in and saying, well, I don't like that. Listen, if you find something that you like everything about, if you find a church that way, let me know. I'd like to join it myself. Where everything is done your way. Listen, we're different, aren't we? We have different likes. It's like I said to somebody before. I said, you know what? What if my favorite style of music was rap? Just in case you might be wondering, it's not. Okay, but what if it was? And I'm sitting there going, hey, man, look, you know, I want you to come with me to a rap concert. Now, your genre of music is classical. Maybe not, but play along. Okay, are you going to want to come to a rap concert with me? No. Am I going to want to go to a opera or classical conversation with you? No. We're different people trying to function in one place with different likes and different dislikes. So you know what that means? Nothing is going to be 100% the way that each and every one of us want it. But we're asking the wrong question. The question we need to be asking is, does it honor and glorify the Father? What does He like? What does He want? What is it that He wants to bring about in the hearts and lives of people? We need to treasure the gathering. You need to realize that you're not here just to watch. You're here to participate. Yeah, and so many times you go up there and you're standing on the sidelines. Isn't it great the day that somebody said, hey, you want to play? Come on, listen, we need a fifth guy here on our basketball team. Hey, you got a buddy? Bring him on too. Now, y'all going to be on opposite teams because we're each missing one. That's cool. I get to play. How many of you all would admit that you had to set the bench, whether it was fair or whether it was unfair, and then you finally got to play? Come on, where are my people? Do you remember that day you got to play? How you felt? I get to hit. I get to go in. Hey, Mom. Check me out. I get to go in. The joy that filled your soul. God is calling you in the game. Come on. Come on. I want you to be a part. I want you to sit there just watching. Get in the game. Oh, and by the way, at the end of the day, when the trophy gets hoisted, guess whose hands get to be on it? Yours. Let me tell you what I know. I know my team wins because I've read the end of the book. I know who's going to be hoisting the trophy. Now, some of us are on crutches. Some of us are on almost life support, physically and spiritually. But you ain't done yet. God's still calling you to be a part. Will you be a part? Notice what He says in that final verse we're looking at this morning, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. What does that mean? Are you ready for this? Exhorting means encouraging. How encouraging are you to someone else today? I mean, let me make you a promise. If you go up to somebody and say, well, yeah, Miss Sally, that's the most God-awful outfit I've ever seen in my life. That is not encouraging. If you go up to somebody and say, golly, Pete, I would have done that. That's not encouraging. We are called to be exhorters or encouragers to one another. Have you encouraged somebody today in this place, in this assembly? Have you? Well, it ain't over yet. Don't do it now. Wait till I get done. But encourage somebody today and encourage somebody every day. Let me tell you, that will change your life and it will change the lives of people around you. Find something good. Find something encouraging and share it with them. Thank you for your hard work in doing this. Thank you for going that extra mile. Thank you for enhancing my worship experience today. Thank you just for being you. Thank you for saying hello to me this morning. Thank you for the handshake. Thank you for the love. They might look at you like you got three heads, but let me make you a promise. They won't forget it. Remember what that old expression is, that people will forget in a few minutes what you said about them, but they'll never forget how you made them feel when you have an encounter with them. What kind of a trail for Jesus are we leaving based on the encounters that we have, and especially as we come together as the body of Christ? You see, we've been in a serious situation. We need to understand the significance of our gathering at church. See, that's why, to me, it's a victorious day. That's why there's extra pressure. That's why Lynn was extra nervous today. That's why your pastor's extra nervous today. You know what? We still got an online audience. We still got people watching from all over the world. But you know what? We want so much for you to have the best worship experience. And we strive for that. But guess what part of that is? Part of that is your participation in that. Part of that is you being what God wants you to be to the body of Christ. When we have a strong theology of the assembly, us coming together, there's a couple of things that we learn. It's a couple of things that this combats. First of all, it combats formalistic worship. You ever had formalistic worship? Yeah. The gathering is a supernatural event because the Lord has shown up and the cosmos is watching. I like how, you know, how that stated. The cosmos means everything. Yeah, the Bible says that in somebody who trusts Christ, it says all the saints of heaven rejoice over the saving of that one soul. There's a lot of people attending Central Baptist Church today. Are you one of them? I didn't ask about where your body was. Are you attending? Are you present? By the way, folks, it doesn't make sense to simply go through the motions to attend church on Sunday. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a busy world. I got a lot better things. If I wasn't here to meet Jesus, there's a whole lot of other things I could be doing right now. The Wyndham's going on. I could go be watching golf. I could go be at the lake. I could be sitting around under the shaded sitting area. I could be doing 10,000 other things. But you know why I'm here? And some of y'all are saying, because it's your job. No. I am here because I want to be here. And I am here because I want to meet Jesus in this place, and I want you to do the same thing. Now, we have bad days, don't we? There are some days when you drag yourself here, and you're not necessarily present. I get it. There are some days I drag myself here, and I'm not necessarily here either. It's tough, but the Lord provides strength. When we have the right concept of the gathering, it combats what's known as individualistic worship. Now, a lot of you would sit back and say, well, you know, what's wrong with worshiping as an individual? There's nothing wrong with that. The service is a gathering of those who have committed to help each other to endure to the end. Remember what I said a minute ago about perseverance? We got to help each other. How many times have you seen it? Man, I've seen it before in sports or in athletics where somebody's struggling and then a teammate comes alongside them and they're going, come on, you can do this, you can do this, you can do it. And they reach back and find that extra to get through. You've seen it, haven't you? You've probably been on one end or the other of that spectrum. What an encouragement it really is. See, it keeps us focused on the goal of others rather than the goal of ourselves. And it prevents us from seeing church as some sort of program that we do. We like that word, don't we? Program. We got a program going on. Church isn't about a program, it's about a relationship. Church isn't about a program, it's about a friendship. Church is about you. Listen, here's the other thing. You just get it right between you and God, and the rest of it will take care of itself. I promise. I promise. See, we have to have the theology of the gathering that keeps us from becoming a consumer-oriented church or a consumer-oriented worship. You know, what's God's Spirit doing in the whole church? Not just individualistically, but in the whole church. What is the Spirit of God doing? When that becomes, you know, so important, when that becomes more important than us being comfortable or having our preferences met, then we will see God do incredible things. Have you ever noticed that when God did some incredible things, most of the people he used were very uncomfortable? Paul and Silas were in prison. Oh, by the way, that's after they had been beaten. That's after they had been bullwhipped. Remember, they had the Philippian jailer and his family who came to the Lord later treated their wounds. How easy would it have been for them to say, forget this, I'm hitting the bricks. But let me think, what do you think about it now? What do you think about Paul in heaven having conversation with the Philippian jailer and his family with Jesus present? And Jesus said, you know, Paul, you and Silas were strong enough believers that I could use you. The only way I was going to be able to get this guy, because he was a jailer, was I had to put you where he was, and that was in jail. Paul would probably say, well, you know, we could have done without the lashing, but yeah, okay, I get it. How many times in our lives do we say, Lord, I could do without the lashing, but is it for his honor, his glory, or is it really all about us? See, when we have the right theology of the gathering, why we're here, what we do, it prevents us from being and becoming consumer-oriented. I like what, I believe it was President Kennedy who made the statement that's been infamous that said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. If you inserted church in there for country, how would that work for you? Ask not what your church could do for you, but what you could do for your church. I want you to ponder that. I want you to let the Spirit wash over you with that. And finally, when we understand the theology of the gathering, it helps us to reason with what it is that God wants for us. It was a pastor named David Clarkson that said this, and I love how he put it. David Clarkson said, because God blesses his gathered people with his Spirit, the Lord engages himself to let forth, as it were, a stream of his comfortable, quickening presence to every particular person that fears him. That little stream that God provides in your life shows up. It says, but when many of these particular join together to worship God, then these several streams are united and meet in one, so that the presence of God, which enjoyed in private, is but a stream, in public becomes a river that makes glad the city of God. You have a part to play in worship. Are you playing that part? I hope and trust that today, as we have considered the Word of God and considered the theology of the gathering, that it will move us closer to the Lord. Today, if you were here and you have never had that opportunity to begin that relationship with Him, I'm going to ask Lynn if she would come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation time. If you have never begun that personal relationship with God. I'm not saying coming to church. I've said this so many times, but I have to repeat it because so many people today get to the point where they think that being a Christian is about what you do. It's about being a good person, and that doesn't have anything to do with it. Being a Christian is about a relationship with the Father through Jesus the Son. Have you confessed your sins before Him? Have you said, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner, that I am on my way to hell right now, but because of what you did on Calvary's cross, that destination can change. So, Lord, save my soul and forgive my sin. As if you're watching on the live stream and you need Jesus, I'm encouraging you right now. If you've never done that, reach out to Jesus because He's reaching out to you. If you've done that, please contact us. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We also want to help you in your walk. In just a moment, we have our invitation time. We invite you. Listen, I'd love to pray with you if you need Christ in your life. The rest of us, we feel like we're out there, don't you? Do you feel like, yeah, I mean, at times, even though you've tried, you've tried your best. But how many times have we said, Lord, I am so far out there. I am so far gone. Hey, I'm there. Lord, bring us back. Lord, make us better than we ever were. Lord, help us to do it your way. Most of all, Lord, let us get in contact with you that everything else might fall into place. Do we need to pray that to the Father today? Do we need to give those things to Him and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Like the prodigal, maybe today's the day that you've awakened in the hog pen. Come on home because the Father's waiting for you. Maybe you said, I haven't been doing things right. My attitude is, but listen, I've confessed. I've had a bad attitude. How many of y'all have had a bad attitude? You can do it right now. This pandemic has caused you to... I talked to a fellow the other day. You know what he said? He said, this pandemic has caused me really just to hate people. Because everybody is at each other's throats. Stop it. That's not what we do in this family. That's not how we roll. We're to love one another as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Are we doing that? Maybe some apologies to the Father are in order this morning, whatever it is. As we go to the Lord in prayer, as we have our invitation time, I'm just going to ask you, if you would, just to stand where you are. I know you've been sitting for a while. If you're able, if you're not, that's fine. But would you stand in an attitude of prayer as you respond to the Father, whether it's to come forward, whether it's to pray where you are, whatever it may be, I'll be here at the front. You respond to God's call in your life right now.
Sing with me, Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small.
That
that God has spoken to your heart today. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front at this time as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering, something that you have maintained very well over the past year and a half. But yet, once again, this will be the first time in a year and a half that we've done traditional offering where we pass that offering plate. Now, listen, by the way, if you're afraid of that, just let it go on past you, and you can catch one of the fellows in the back. You can drop it in. But I can tell you this much. It's great just to have a sense of something that's familiar, doesn't it? Am I praying this, guys? I got the prayer? Okay. All right, let me ask the blessing upon the offering, and then Lynn is going to do a song for you as the offering plate is collected. Don't leave yet. I got a couple of quick announcements after the offering, and we'll get you in line and out the door for lunch. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. You have provided in ways that we cannot even imagine. Thank you. Thank you for provision on so many levels that we can't even begin to understand it on this side of glory. But God, you are so good. So, Father, now is the time when you command us to give back that portion that you have so richly blessed us with. And, Lord, it's just a small portion. Help us to be faithful to do that, that your work may continue to go forward. And, Lord, that we might be blessed by having been faithful in our giving. So, Lord, bless the tithe and the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss us in prayer, just a couple of quick announcements. As a reminder, for those that are on our leadership team, we will not have a leadership team meeting this afternoon. We are pushing that out until next week. So just for this month, it will be next Sunday at 4 o'clock. We're still doing those virtually. You will be getting a link from Jonathan Fondo, if you're on our team, to be able to attend this virtual meeting, which will be next week. Also, church conference and our corporate meeting, instead of being tonight, will also be next Sunday night. Once again, just as a reminder, we're required by corporate policies to have an annual meeting. That's usually done in the month of August. That takes place in conjunction with our church conference. So our regular church conference for the month of August will be next Sunday evening, which means that we will be having services next Sunday evening. Once again, bringing those back online. So we're trying to take it one step at a time to get things up, but we're trying to take those steps rather quickly. Also, just as a reminder for this evening, there will be no evening activities this evening, but as we come about a more normal schedule, Sunday evening services will resume next Sunday, and we're asking you to pay careful attention to your email, the social media pages, and any way that we can communicate as to things that are being brought back online. This is true as well with Sunday school, and also some of the children's Sunday school classes and so forth. Well, I'm going to try to put a schedule out this week so we'll have a little bit more of an idea about what's taking place and what's going on, because after a year and a half, it's real easy to forget, isn't it? And it's changed some. So we'll try to make sure we have something to you in writing in that regard. And also just want to give folks a reminder to continue to pray for the Anita Pierman family. Anita lost her sister, Cheryl Linebach, I think I said that right, yesterday. That was her only sibling. And, of course, that family has been through it. If you've been following our prayer list, Cheryl had contracted COVID, was in the hospital, and yesterday she lost her battle to that. So that is Anita Pierman's only sibling. So we want to keep that family in your prayers. If you will remember, her son-in-law was the one who drowned down at the beach last week or so. So family's been hit with a lot of tragedy here lately. Please, please, please pray for them. If you get a chance, you can send Anita a card or just give her a call. Be that encourager to her, because I know it will mean a lot to her. Also, as we go, don't forget this week, Tuesday, Joanne Willard has a birthday, as well as Jenny Chilton on Thursday. Once again, Tuesday, Joanne Willard, Thursday, Jenny Chilton, and then anniversaries, Tim and Tina Allman have an anniversary coming up this coming Saturday. So if you see those folks, or if you're a card sender, drop them one with a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. Hopefully you don't get them mixed up. And we'll look forward to seeing what God is going to do as we go forward. Continue to pray for us. We got a lot of things we got to get lined up. There are a bunch of moving parts and pieces to make this thing happen. I'm grateful for all those that are working hard to help us as we go forward with God's plan. So with that, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we will look forward to seeing each other again. Right now, Wednesday night, we're still video-based, so you can tune in to our social media page until we get exactly how we're going to get Wednesday night going. Right now, we're working on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights at one time, and then we're going to work on Wednesday as we go forward. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us. Thank you for the opportunity to gather. Help us, Lord, to remember the gathering as a special place and a special time in our hearts. Lord, we know that there's nothing special about the building itself, but there is something special about the contents of that building when it comes to your people coming together. Father, I pray right now that you will help us to see things through your lens and through your light. Help us, Lord, not to be trapped by all of the things that are going on in the world that are causing us to have a bad attitude, that are causing us to drift away from you. Lord, instead of running away from you, help us to run towards you during these trying times in our world today. Lord, we don't know what normal is going to look like, or if it will ever look like something that we could ever call normal again, but that's okay, because you know what's taking place. You know what's happened. We are in the palm of your hand as we go forward. Father, help us to relax, to be calm, and to follow you one day at a time, one step at a time. Give us a great week. Send us to somebody today that we might encourage them for your honor and glory, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.